For the last two Wednesday evenings, we've been considering parts of this book of Ruth, considering the words that are found in the second chapter and the 12th verse. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. This beautiful story, wherein the main characters, the three main characters, are all people of God, all had the grace of God in their hearts. And we see the lives of true believers in a most blessed example. I want to read this evening by way of text from chapter 4 and part of verse 14. Ruth chapter 4 verse 14, these words: blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be faithful in Israel. The opening words of the third chapter show us the heart of Naomi, the love that she bore to her daughter-in-law, that mutual love between these two impoverished widows. She says, shall I not seek rest for thee, my daughter, that it may be well with thee? Just looking back over those chapters that we have read, we see how that Naomi and Ruth in the land of Moab lost their husbands, and they, together with Ruth's sister Orpah, began the journey back to Bethlehem. And how that Naomi had challenged the two young women to return to their own homes, to their own kindred, to their own relations, and how Orpah had that natural love for her mother-in-law, and yet was pulled by the heartstrings of her own native people and religion to return back to her own country. We read that Ruth clave unto her mother-in-law. And in those wonderful words that she spoke, that she wanted to be with Ruth, with Naomi and with her people, and she wanted her God, Naomi's God, to be her God. She wanted to die in the same place. And she says, and the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. So they had come into the land of Israel, and the people recognize Naomi, and they called unto her, and she says, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. But then there was a need, because these two women were poor, they had nothing. It was necessary that they should have food to eat. And Ruth showed a very willing spirit to go and glean, because they came back at the time of harvest, how the Lord ordains all things in our lives for our good. And she happened, as the word of God says, to light on the field belonging unto a very rich man whose name was Boaz. And how that the Lord had shown great kindness through Boaz unto Ruth. And not only had he permitted her to glean in his field, but he had instructed the reapers to drop some handfuls of purpose. And above and beyond this, she was invited to drink of the water that the young people had drawn from the well. And then at supper time, she was invited to sit with the reapers. And beyond even this, how that Boaz had himself stretched out his hand toward Ruth and given her something to eat. So his kindness was very great, and she gleaned a great deal that day. And she took it back home to her mother-in-law, who must have been highly surprised and wanted to know where she had gleaned that day, and how Ruth had told her that she had gone into a field that belonged unto Boaz, and that she was instructed by him not to glean in any other field, and not to dwell among any others than among Boaz's maidens. How rich and full the scriptures are of glorious truths, instruction for the blessing of our souls. Here is the field of the gospel. Here is the good news of the wealth of the master of the field, the one who shows such great loving kindness unto those who are wholly undeserving. And we reminded ourselves that Ruth was a Moabitess. She was among the accursed people of God. But here she had been drawn, attracted by the truths that Naomi had presented unto her. And not only attracted unto Naomi, but unto Naomi's God. And God will bless her. And as we read last week, that the Lord would recompense her and give her a reward, the reward of the faith that he had already given unto her. And Naomi had instructed Ruth that she should go to the threshing floor at night, and there to lay herself down at the feet of Boaz, who had eaten and drunk and was now resting at the end of a hard day's labour. And how she had crept in unawares. But at midnight the man was affrighted and realised that there was someone at his feet and said, "Who art thou?" And she had said unto him, "I am Ruth, thy handmaiden." And how Boaz again showed her great kindness in that he was willing to do the part of a kinsman. I'll just read those verses again, for they are important. And it came to pass at midnight, this is chapter 3 at verse 8, that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou hast followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer to me. And she goes before it is light and returns unto Naomi, and Naomi gives her this instruction. She says, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. So to our text, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. We need to understand what the role or the purpose of a kinsman is. That Boaz was willing to play that part. Now remember that Naomi had and Ruth had come from Moab without anything in their hand. That they were poor. The land which belonged previously to Elimelech, Naomi's husband, had been sold. And so she was without any inheritance, without any means of support. And so she was among the poor. But a provision had been made by the Lord for those who, through distressing circumstances, were brought into a low place. And if we refer to the book of Leviticus, chapter 25 and verse 25, we see the Lord's instruction there. If thy brother be waxen poor, and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which is his brother sold. And if the man hath none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. So, to give it a modern interpretation, a person buys a house and takes out a mortgage on that house. And then, through certain circumstances, is unable to pay the mortgage off. Now, he has possession of the house. The house belongs to him, except for the fact he owes this debt upon it. And he finds he's now unable to pay that debt. And so the one who has given the mortgage, whether it be a bank or institution, demands payment. And the man is unable to pay, and there's no one else that can pay it for him. But therefore, he has to give up possession of the house. But in the land of Israel, there was this provision, as we have read, that if later on the man be able to repay the debt now accrued with great interest, or if one of a near kinsman can pay it, then he can retake possession of the house. And of course, this has a limited time set upon it. Now, to give a spiritual understanding of this, we, that is, through our head, which is Adam, have lost possession of our inheritance. Our sins have robbed us of that which we had in the perfection of the garden. But more than this, of a close relationship unto our God. And so Adam was cast out of the garden and lost possession of the way of everlasting life. And all his inheritance, if you have a mortgage and you cannot pay that mortgage and you're put out of your house, your children have to be put out of the house as well. Your great-grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. You've lost that which was of a benefit to you, an inheritance also for others. And so man lost his first state and condition, and now he is naked and without anything whereby he can repay the great debt that he owes. Satan was the one who caused Adam and Eve to disobey God and brought upon them this dire position. And it is Satan who is reckoned to be the God of this earth. He has great power upon the face of the earth. And so man's way was lost and would have been lost to all eternity had not some provision been made for him. Now that provision is made for him in the gospel. And there's two points that we want to especially emphasize. And the first point is this, that he has nothing to pay. He has nothing whereby he can remit the great debt that he owes through the transgression by his sins. Man has ever thought that he is capable of remitting the debt, and if not the whole debt, then a part of that debt. But you see, the demand is that the whole sum now be made. The mortgage has been taken away, as it were. And now the capital, together with this accruing interest, has to be paid. Well, we were brought into this world as sinners. We had the same nature as Adam. But look at the transgressions that we've added unto our first state. Look at the great sum that we owe, the mountain of debt that we have contracted. And yet man thinks that he can find a way, and he has striven for all these centuries to make a way for himself whereby he may complete the transaction and meet the debt and be restored to his first condition. Oh, foolish man. And yet, men today are no wiser. Oh, people think that in the early days man was ignorant, that he didn't know much about things. But man has improved and increased in knowledge, in wisdom, in understanding, in everything. Well, that may be true to a good extent, but the more knowledge he has gained, the more ignorant he has become of the ways of God. And how, if we have any understanding of the matter, we can see it perhaps more clearly today than ever it's been. That man, although he's wise in his own esteem, is ignorant when it comes to the things of God. He thinks that he can come in a different way to the way that God has purposed. Instead of walking upon that straight and narrow way, which is too limited for him, and too sincere, and too restrictive, then he will make his way upon a broader road. And he thinks by going on that broader road, he has a better course, an easier pathway, and he can gain the ground and come to his destination at last. But because he's so ignorant, he does not realise that the destination for which he is heading is eternal damnation. So we have nothing by which we can remit unto God that which God demands. God demands payment for our sins, and payment we cannot give. The second point then, and this most importantly, if we cannot pay the debt, is there someone that can pay the debt for us? Well, as we look around, our relatives and our friends and those that we meet in business or society, again, if we have any wisdom whatsoever, we quickly realise that these are in as great a dilemma as ourselves. These have sold themselves under sin also. And these are unable to remit their own debts, then how could they possibly remit our debt? And so there is no one upon this earth who we can look to for help or find any encouragement come to that in making our way to eternal life. But the scriptures set forth a way that man denies, a way that man will not accept. A way that man finds objectionable to his proud nature. That way is through a kinsman. A kinsman redeemer. And that's what Boaz would become to Ruth. He would pay her debt. He would remit that sum that was due. And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwell by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger, we might say that is Satan, or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself. If he be able. What a little word with a tremendous meaning. And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him. Something very important here then, that only a close relative could redeem the poverty-stricken person. As we see in this case of Ruth and Boaz, which beautifully sets forth the redemption of God's people, that she needed a redeemer. And we find that Naomi, her mother in Israel, informs her of this redeemer, this kinsman, this one who was able to deliver her from her situation. Able not only to deliver her, but to draw near unto her. And not only to draw near unto her, but to marry her. And to bring forth children, offspring by her. What a need we have of one that is a near kinsman to us. And here the scriptures reveal unto us how the Lord Jesus Christ became flesh. He came to be a man and die. And the scriptures inform us that he took the sinner's part. Now why would Boaz glance an eye upon this heathen stranger? A woman that he had never set eyes upon heretofore. Why would love rise up within his heart toward her? Why would his compassion be displayed in such a magnificent way? There was an attraction. Not so much a physical attraction, but a spiritual attraction. How Boaz had heard, as we were informed, of how Ruth had come and left her own people and shown such wonderful kindness unto her aging mother-in-law and had been willing to leave the pleasures of her own nation to an uncertain future of poverty as could be expected among a people whom she knew not. And how that Ruth had come to believe in the Lord. Now this is what attracted Boaz to Ruth. And Ruth knew nothing of this until Boaz revealed himself to her. How much more then? This is the type. How much more the antitype? the Lord Jesus Christ loved his people ever before they were upon this earth, ever before the earth was made. Their names were written upon his heart. And because he loved them so much and saw their desperate need, he was willing to come and meet that need on their behalf. He was willing to come alongside them as one of their brethren. More than this, he was counted among the transgressors, a near kinsman, one of close relationship. Yea, he loved the people, and he loved them so sincerely that he is willing to give his life a ransom for their souls, there to be their close kinsman, to take that part which no other was able or willing to take. Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman. Now when we come to hear the gospel, and when that gospel is laid firmly upon our hearts, then it is that we discover a kinsman redeemer, one who is able to meet our debt, to pay the price of our sins, to bring us back unto God. And it is through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is through that sovereign work of his, that we come to see his great love for us, and our love kindled toward him. We love him on this ground because, and only because, he first loved us. Now he hath paid the price of our sin. There are two references in the epistle to the Ephesians. There are many more references that we could look at in the writings of the apostle and in the gospels, but let these two be sufficient from us. In Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, in whom we have redemption. When we come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption. We are a redeemed people. Christ has paid the price of our sins. There's nothing now to be paid. All is concluded. The matter is settled. When Boaz had dealt with the business of redemption, it was posted up for all in Bethlehem to see that Boaz had redeemed Ruth, and that he had called her to be his bride. That it was something that was spoken of and rejoiced in all over Israel. But you might say that we are yet upon this earth. We know not our redemption. This is where the second verse comes in. That's verse 14 in Ephesians 1, where it says, which is the earnest, or the pledge, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, just try and give this natural example. Here, a person has faltered upon the conditions of their mortgage and they've been dispossessed of their house. But then a near kinsman who is permitted by law to come and pay the redemption price has handed over what was necessary. But the house is not yet in the hands of the one who was dispossessed. There is a certain time before he can actually take possession and call it his own. So it is with the people of God. We must fulfill our course. We must finish the race that is set before us until we can take full possession of our inheritance. But we have the earnest, we have the pledge of our inheritance in the knowledge or the discovery of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith lays hold upon the promises of God. And here it is faith that is in exercise, which enables a soul to rejoice in the God of their salvation, that Christ had paid the price of my sin. Therefore, I am released from all obligation. There is no one that can testify against me. And when you think of that mountain of your sins, and that the whole sum has been remitted, that that mountain has been removed, that those sins shall be seen no more again forever, we see something of the beauty of the glorious transaction of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in shedding his blood for the remission of our sins, in making us heirs unto God. And that it is our sweet and glorious hope that when we come to the end of this journey, then we shall be forever with our Lord. The marriage shall be complete. There we shall see our Redeemer face to face without a veil between. Sit still, she says, my daughter. And here she sits still waiting until this transaction be made. And you may be in a place this night where the Lord has begun to reveal himself as that close kinsman redeemer to you, and that you want to know the outcome. You're waiting to know that the Lord is your God, that Christ is your Redeemer, that he pays the price of your sin. Now, in this account, it says that there was a closer kinsman than Boaz, and perhaps more difficult to interpret, but some believe that this is the law, that the law is our close kinsman, but the law never hinted or suggested redemption for anyone, let alone a small group of people. Others have suggested that it is our natural self. If you think of Orpah, she went so far, but she was not willing to give up everything to follow Ruth. And so our human nature, our natural self, is not willing to give up the pleasures of this world and the possessions that we have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And then a second example. Here he goes to his neighbour and he says unto her, unto him, and I thought to advertise you, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. You see, a person may be willing to go into Christianity. He may be willing to take up a position in the church and to be among the people of God. But then Boaz says, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And then we have this denial by the near kinsman, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Isn't that typical of the flesh? We cannot follow Christ because we'll lose our friends, our relationships. We'll lose our possessions or our inheritance or something else. And so Boaz takes up the cause of Ruth. They're a most willing redeemer of this young woman. Now Christ is the only redeemer of his people. He was the only one who will come and take up their cause and remit their great debt and bring them unto himself, and that they might become his and he become theirs. There are many more things that could be said. We could further go into the history of the law of Israel to confirm better these points. We could look at the example of Jeremiah, where we have a similar case where a cousin comes to him and wants him to buy a field and redeem it, although the enemy was quickly taken possession of the land. But we must leave those things. I trust there is enough here for us to see something of the wonderful beauty there is in this case. Naomi, a saint of God. Ruth, who is the young convert who comes to know the God of Israel. And Boaz, the rich man who is not only able but also willing to buy her debt and to set her free and to take her for himself. And the marriage was complete. So with the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes to redeem his people, having given them an interest in the things of God. And there he pays the price of their sins. And there the marriage supper is prepared for his people. And soon it shall be complete. And all that are called by grace divine and quickened by the Spirit of the living God will be found at that marriage supper with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then with him through a never-ending eternity. Oh, may the Lord impress these things not only upon our spirits, but also upon our hearts, that we may come to know this near kinsman redeemer as our kinsman redeemer. Amen.